Thank you everyone for waking up this early on the Sunday. I'm sure you wanted to sleep in, but you came to the first talk, and it's a really good one. We have Fedor, who's going to talk about WebAssembly on constrained devices. So please give him a warm welcome.
Hey, good morning, everyone. And thank you for the introduction. I'm Fedor, and I'm very excited to be giving this talk in the Rust Dev room of FOSDEM. And again, thanks for getting up early. So what I'm going to be talking about today is about running WebAssembly on really microcontrollers. So think something like an ESP32, like C3, C5, or like something from Nordic, like an NRF53. And those are basically the learnings that the company I work at, have drawn from just like kind of trying to do that. So how the talk is going to be organized is like very straightforward. We're going to start with motivation. So kind of answering the question, why would you want to run WebAssembly on constrained devices in the first place? And then looking at it from like these two directions, like on the one hand, what does it mean for your code? What does it mean for how the functionality you want to bring on your device looks like in the Rust code you compile for WebAssembly? And the other direction we're going to look at it from is, what does it mean for what your firmware looks like, and specifically, which runtime will you pick, and what does it mean for your footprint, but also for the integration of this runtime with your functionality? So let's start with the motivation. For that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we do at Period, and also like about Mermic. So we work in the IoT domain. So you can imagine systems which are these large distributed systems consisting of a large number of heterogeneous devices. So think everything from cloud servers to Linux edge nodes, and at least for us more recently, also microcontrollers. And what we do there is we work in Mermic, and Mermic is a middleware. And you can imagine it as this thing where you have an agent, which is like a thin soft or firmware layer you put on each of your nodes. And what it does for you is it manages your applications. So you just hand it out your application, which you want to run, and Mermic will do the rest. It will find the devices where they should be put. It will transfer the executables there, run them, manage the communication, manage the configuration, monitor the thing at runtime. That's all cool and interesting. The only thing we care about there in this talk is this point where you take code from the user at runtime and put them on nodes which you manage, on nodes where you potentially have code running from other users. And in that context, I think that, you know, at least for like the OS grade devices, I won't have to do too much work to convince you that WebAssembly is a pretty cool idea there, because, you know, like we said, we want to run anywhere. So already having something which is target independent is a big win, because you don't have to do anything to switch from one target hardware to the other. But the other thing, and from my perspective this is way more important, is the strong sandboxing that you get. WebAssembly gives you this very explicit way of defining the capabilities of what this piece of software that you deploy there can do, and the sandbox around it is very strong, so you can be very confident deploying unknown code, which is like, but it has potentially errors, it could even have like security problems. Now, if we look at this on microcontrollers, all these advantages hold. In fact, you have more advantages, because as soon as you take a large part of your functionality and put it from firmware into a WebAssembly module, you get a part of functionality which is way easier to update, because you don't need reflashing, you don't need an OTA, you just load another module. And the great thing about it, the great thing about this update that you get there, it cannot brick your device. The worst thing that can happen is the module runs, it has some error, it will just trap to the host. So your host can just tell you it's still there, it didn't crash, it can tell you, hey, give me another module. And especially if you think about the fact that like these microcontrollers, they're often deployed in remote settings, like in settings where you specifically don't want to go there and reflash, this could be a big advantage. Now, disadvantages are also obvious. We are microcontrollers, we have very little memory as it is, and you won't get around introducing a higher memory footprint. You won't get around having a certain performance overhead. So that's the trade-off we are talking about here. And just to mention it, I'm definitely not saying that WebAssembly is like the silver bullet and that this should be the only way how you deploy a code. There are definitely many other ways how to do that. They are all interesting. They all have their own use case where this is useful. The takeaway here is just WebAssembly is an interesting point to do that. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about like two of the things that you could consider. One is tooling ecosystem, and the other one is the footprint, which depends very strongly on the chosen runtime. So first, the practical consequences regarding your code. So what we're talking about here is just the question, like, assume you're curious now. Assume you want to try out to run WebAssembly on microcontrollers. What does that mean for the code that you write? And I think there are like two perspectives here. On the one hand, you could be someone like me, coming more from the Linux side, where you maybe have worked with like WesenTime for a while, probably with WebAssembly for a while, probably with WesenTime. Or the other perspective is you may be actually someone who develops embedded firmware and now wants to try to WebAssembly. I'm kind of trying to cater to both perspectives a little bit. So with the first one, say you come from Linux, you may likely be using a WASI target. So the first thing you will realize, you won't be able to do that on embedded. Although some of the embedded runtimes do support WASI, you will never get it for free. It always comes with additional memory costs because you have to implement these host functions additionally. The other thing is WASI as it is, it in general assumes certain like OS support with things like timers, randomness, and I/O. So like many of these things are just not written for the like constrained environment of microcontrollers. The other thing, and that is something that kind of surprised me, was that as soon as you switch to unknown, you have to step away from the comfortable situation of like just taking any Rust code using STD and just putting it to WebAssembly. That doesn't work anymore. That was new for me, but actually the fact that you can do it normally, it doesn't come from like WASM as it is, it actually comes from WASI. Like many standard library things can only be mapped to like WebAssembly if you have like those WASI host functions available. So with that, it means your code will become more embedded. It will be an OSTD code, and for example, your allocation will be explicit. And since you also don't have the WASI host functions, you will have to implement all of your host functions yourself. And that's also kind of the segue to the more like embedded perspective. If you are used to write embedded software, then you will have to get used to a new way of accessing your peripherals. So your firmware will look something like that. So you have on the one side your device peripherals, they are kind of the same as they were before. And you have this big new block of the WASM runtime containing the WebAssembly modules. And the important thing here is that the WebAssembly modules, they are extremely sandboxed. That means the way they can access anything outside the module itself is very restricted. In fact, the only thing you can do is you can, the only exchange between host and guest is through export and import functions. They are explicitly defined. And you are also very restricted about how you define them. So their signature has to follow the CABI. And the biggest restriction here is also that like the arguments and return values of those functions, those are essentially just integers and floats. Now, that would of course suck if that was always if that was the only thing you had. You want to exchange more complex information. And how you will normally do that is you will make use of the fact that the host can access the guest memory. And so how these exchanges typically go is like when the module wants to communicate something complex to the host, it will give it arguments just describing a region in its memory. And then the host knows how to interpret it. So these are basically the things. Now, how does it look in code? This is just, I hope it kind of works out from the font size. Also, the slides are just available. You could just look them directly up in the like fourth page of the talk. But this is how one of the older modules looks, which we used to have in Mermic. And I mean, you see two things here. Like on the one hand, as promised, we have no STD. We have explicit allocation. But like with macros, you can make that like look fairly nice. The other thing is, down there, you have no unsafe code. You have no WASM specifics. You do nice idiomatic error handling, also with a try operator. And this is actually only domain logic. I mean, this is obviously like a demo module. It's like very simplistic, but And you can imagine it would be more complex if it was something real, but the complexity would not come from the fact that we operate with resin. The complexity would come from the domain, which is exactly what you want. And this is done like with our SDK for WASM development. And just to like show some of the things, for example, this receive, this is actually how you access host functionality. Under the hood, it is a thing with a safe Rust wrapper around a C import. And that's exactly the thing I was talking about. That's the thing where you talk to the host through the C ABI, which looks like this. But nevertheless, and like in like your code describing functionality, this can look nice. This can look like a normal Rust function. And similar, why do we have nice error handling here? Well, because of this macro, because macros are essentially magic, so you can expand it to whatever you want. And this is what it expands to. This is like something that looks like the WebAssembly export. You export up there and you kind of wrap around a fallible Rust function, and there you can do whatever you want. So basically, essentially, this just looks whether it was an error or a success. If it's an error, it's going to give the status code back, and this one actually also uses host logging to tell you the error message so that you kind of have more the experience you expect from Rust. Okay, so. To summarize, there are some constraints. You will have to do things slightly differently, but due to the fact that Rust is awesome, you can actually nevertheless live with it quite well. Okay, now to the other part. And the other part, since we now kind of know what it means for the code you write, the other question is, what does it mean for how your firmware looks? And specifically, and this is a decision you will have to make, which WASM runtime do you want to pick to run on your microcontrollers? And I'm just going to walk you through kind of our decision process that we had on that. So first, we were thinking about what are the things that actually matter for us with respect to the WASM runtime. And the very obvious and actually like the main point is memory footprint. Because all else, it's kind of nice, but if it doesn't fit, you cannot do anything with it. So that is definitely the main thing you will be looking at. The other points are it has, of course, it needs to run on bare metal. And for us, our use case is running it on an ESP, like something like C3, C5. So there we want to use Embassy to access the peripherals and also to like be somewhat concurrent. So it was very important for us that the runtime we pick integrates well with that. And for this reason, and also for the reason that we generally have a complete Rust stack, we were very biased towards like runtimes written in Rust. Okay, then the question, what do we do? How do we find out about memory footprint? We did like a very straightforward thing, just saying, hey, let's set up a benchmark. So this benchmark is very simple. It has like one module which uses one import from the host to just log, and then we implement it for the different runtimes that you have. And this is something we actually publish. So like if you have like an NRF53 board, you can just like stick it to your computer and you can run this repository, like, and each of the features gives you a different runtime. And then you can, on the one hand, basically see the numbers that I'm going to show you and hopefully see the same numbers. You can tell me how I can do better, because maybe I can get it smaller. That would be awesome. And the other thing is also like you see the code there. You see basically the integration with WASM and with each of the runtimes. So if you want to start playing with that, I think this would be kind of a cool place to start. So these are the runtimes we evaluated. We have like the three Rust ones, like WASM, WASM time, which I was very happy, is going more in embedded direction now. I think they also need help with like for some of the architectures. So like if you wanna contribute somewhere, that would be a cool place because it would be awesome if you could run WASM time also on embedded. Tiny WASM, to my knowledge, the Rust runtime with the smallest footprint. And of course, we had to consider WAMA, because that's like the standard for running WebAssembly on MCU. And sadly, we have seen why, because these are the numbers. Like, you see, WASM in principle is intended to run on constrained devices, but it needs like 10 times more memory than WAMA. Tiny WASM, which is like the best one, which we had written in Rust, still needs 2 to 3 times more. And also important to highlight, like all three, WASM, WASM time, and Tiny WASM run in interpreter mode here. WAMA runs in AOT. Like AOT is like 10 times faster performance-wise than interpreter. Anytime you see these numbers when someone says that like WASM introduces only like twice an overhead compared to native, they always talk about AOT. So I'm not talking very much about performance here, but WEMA also outperforms it massively, like those three. So that was bad because, you know, it means we cannot use the Rust runtime. And the other thing is we still want to integrate with Embassy. We still want to integrate it with asynchronous Embassy, which is kind of a problem because WEMA is a synchronous C library. So that's kind of the last thing I want to talk about, like how we did that. First, just to like kind of reiterate on what we're talking about here, we're talking like about the specific situation where you can imagine you are running WAMA on your MCU and it just kind of starts up there, it instantiates the module starts running, and at some point it now requires something from a peripheral. For example, like imagine it just wants to know when someone pushed a button. So it will call to the host and just kind of say, hey, tell me when they push a button. Now, what we want to happen is that WAMA just triggers this asynchronous functionality, kind of blocks until the button pushes there, and then gives control back to the module. And I think probably, like for the people coming like from the Linux side, you at this point kind of don't know what I'm talking about, right? It's like not a big deal. Like everybody has done that. If we are on Linux, like anybody using Tokyo has probably had the situation of having to work with something which has a synchronous interface. And how you solve it is you just say, okay, fine, we will just separate the asynchronous from the synchronous functionality. WAMA gets its own thread. It's just running there. They talk through some way of communicating, say through channels. So when WAMA wants something asynchronous, it will communicate this intent, and it will go to sleep awaiting the response. It's fine. The OS will wake it up as soon as the asynchronous functionality is done. And that's it. That's like a async bridge. Now, the problem, again, we are on an ESP32C3. ESP32C3, so we don't have an OS to wake us up. We don't have threads to separate it. We can do the embassy thing and just say, OK, let's put them in different tasks. But as soon as WAMA blocks, it blocks the entire context. So this doesn't solve it. And this was something that we saw like as a serious problem for us. And we were, at this point, it really looked like a trade-off. It really looked like a trade-off between do we go for like the lower footprint that WAMA gives us, or do we have to go away from Embassy? But the cool thing was that a colleague of mine, Alessandro, he has solved this problem in a very cool way, which actually gives us like kind of the best of both worlds. And the solution is essentially we do put both WAMA and the asynchronous services each in their own task, like asynchronous, like the WAMA task is not really asynchronous, but that's how it looks on Embassy. And the important thing is that asynchronous host services have a higher priority. And now these two talk via signals. And so how this exchange now works is when WAMA needs something from the asynchronous side, it will signal it, and then it will try to read the response signal. And if it doesn't find anything, it goes to sleep using waiting for interrupts. Now, what do the asynchronous host services do? They do basically the thing that they always do. When we tell them what we need, they register an interest in an interrupt and go to sleep themselves. And so at this point, we are at the very cool point where nobody is busy waiting. Nobody is burning CPU cycles. Nobody is using up any power. But we still are 100% reactive to interrupts and in a very efficient way. So if an interrupt comes in that we are not interested in, async doesn't care. WAMA will briefly wake up, check its response signal, see there's nothing there, and go to sleep again. If we get the interrupt we are actually waiting for, like in this case the button push, then the async side, it will get to act first because it has higher priority. It will process the response, it will send the response signal to WAMA so that when WAMA gets to act, it just finds its result, it can give the control back to the module, and we have exactly the behavior we wanted. So this was very cool. I mean, this was honestly something which we saw as a problem, and at the end, this is the way we are integrating WAMA. This gives us a small memory footprint, high performance, and like the full integration in the Embassy ecosystem. So we wanted to share this because this is cool. Yeah, and with that, I'm at the end. Again, everything I was telling about the integration, I was just doing the talking. That's all Alessandro. This is really cool. That's his GitHub handle. Check it out. Also, while working on this, he has been dealing a lot with integrating like a C library into like Rust on embedded. And for that purpose, he has actually published the C Combat Crate. This is really new, so like give him also like a little bit of time if it's like not perfect yet. But the purpose behind it is that you can interact with C libraries without requiring any vendor-specific tooling, and also without requiring like root privileges. So that is pretty cool. Beside that, you know, you can check out the repo with a benchmark, and also, this is just like one of the many interesting problems we deal with while working on Mermaid. Mermaid will be open sourced later this year. We're probably going to be doing a pre-launch test, so also check out the website. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I hope it was interesting, and hope we have time for some questions. Yes? I repeat the question just to make sure that I understood correctly. So you are asking whether it's also possible to make it so that we can write asynchronous code and compile it to WebAssembly. All right. So there are like two parts to this. So like short answer is, yes, it likely is possible, but it's like not that simple. From the runtime side, the one thing you need is you need an ability to execute anything async. So that would already be solved like with this integration we had. Now, from the module side, the problem is a little bit that, like, when you write WebAssembly, everything for the module like looks blocking. So then you have to like set up some infrastructure where, you would need to define specific host functions which like mimic this asynchronous behavior, where you like kind of block from the inside, but actually you you signal your interest in some event and also give it like a function to call back. But also. I'm not sure if it's that difficult, but it's also like not super simple. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all the time we have. We had a bit of a late start. Thank you again, Fedor.
Awesome, thank you.